If you've done six impossible things this morning, why not round it off with breakfast at Milliways, the restaurant at the end of the universe?
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2 RDJ, the voice of the inner west that exists on the outside of the galaxy and the rest of the universe. And we're in our social show, our very sociable show, so I'm just going to retreat.
Well, we've just
come
from Milliways, haven't we?
Yeah, where we got to see the end of the universe again.
Good evening and welcome to the Gadget Grill. That is Lee Stark. I am Gary Stark.
Wait. You're saying I'm Lee Stark?
Yes.
What do I choose not to be? What do I choose to be Malcolm Turnbull tonight?
Then
that's like I'm not going to choose to be. But what if I did? What if I did?
Then we'd end the show now.
Okay, fair enough. At least, I'm Lee Stark then. And this is the social show. Today we're going to be all about social media of sorts, because I have no idea what the hell the show is about. You can tell the people, the fine four people out there who are all about being social.
Okay. Well, there's some interesting stuff happening with social media in the world of the internet. And it's going to affect a business near you very, very soon.
If it already hasn't.
We're going to have a look at how businesses can utilize social media, what it means for you.
And what is social media?
And what actually it is. We're going to probably expand upon what you think social media may be. If you've got an idea of what it is, then perhaps like me, you didn't have quite a full understanding of it.
Don't mind me, Dad. I'm just tweeting right now.
You're just tweeting right now. Yeah, I need to start tweeting soon as well.
Yeah, we really should.
Yes, because that's a social media outlet. Twitter is a social media outlet. Facebook is. MySpace.
Yeah, your favorite, MySpace.
Yeah, yeah.
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn is another one, yes. Well, that's more of business-oriented. There's quite a few.
Business social media, and that probably fits in with the theme tonight.
Yes.
We've also got a bunch of news. There's all sorts of news tonight. Yeah, like, I'll just put one off top here right now. I'll get it out of my playlist here. For radio people and for DJs, because there are a few out there, Techniques are no longer going to make their 1200 and 1210 turntables. Like that one right next to you.
Oh, that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Techniques, you mean?
Techniques.
Not Techniques.
You know what? Shut up, okay? So, there's a whole bunch of stuff like that, and we've got lots of social media stuff, so start tweeting now. Go to twitter.com and create a Twitter thing, and then follow the Gadget Grill. And we'll tell you what's happening in the show and stuff.
Yeah, that's, of course, if we can figure out what's happening in the show ourselves.
Yeah, I'm really confused. Should we get some music to start this off?
No, let's just continue talking for the rest of the night.
Okay, let's do that. I'm completely cool for that. That's a social show.
It's a social show.
We surely shouldn't be playing music. In any case, let's play some anyway. This is a new Australian band, Boy and Bear, with Mexican Mavis. I think it's Mavis.
Or Mavis.
One of them.
They came out of the sunshine. The flowers nestled in their hair. See, they've been stumbling on the back streets, honey. I won't give in. No, I won't give in. 'Cause my love's not a limit.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2 RDJ, the voice of the inner-ish West. If you're listening to us on a radio, you're not very future-proof. I just got to warn you, radio is... it's not going to die. I mean, well, analog radio might. You think digital radio will take over?
It will, because it's going to be forced upon us.
Okay, well, eventually you might have to adapt to a digital radio, but there's an easier way, because you can hit this station, along with a lot of others, on the World Wide Web at www.radio2rdj.com, where you can listen to our fine show right now, only when it's on. Or you can listen to The Shed on Tuesdays from 1 till 3, or you can listen to Nikki Firewall's show right before
Wednesdays.
Our show. I said Tuesdays.
Did you?
No,
I think you said Wednesday.
I was pretty sure I said Tuesday.
Anyway.
Why don't you rewind back?
Okay.
Can you do that? It's like
PVR.
And later on, if you'd like to rewind back and see which one of us was correct, you can head to www.gadgetgrill.com.au.
And now it's time for
the news. Wow, that was a nice segue. Yes. Can we never do that again, please? That was scary. What do you got?
Okay. How about a record company executive arrested for failing to tweet?
Can you do that? Can you be arrested for failing to tweet?
Apparently, yes. Police in a New York suburb, faced with an unruly crowd of girls waiting to see a teen idol, asked an executive from the idol's record company to use Twitter to tell the crowd to disperse. When he refused, he was arrested for hindering the police effort. The charges, he was charged with felony assault, endangering the welfare of a child, obstruction of government administration, reckless endangerment, and criminal nuisance. Apparently, the police feel that his failure to tweet was the reason one officer and five more goers had to be treated for minor injuries. He is pleading not guilty and is out on $50,000 bail, due to be back in court December 9.
Wow, what a weird story.
Yeah.
Especially, it's great for this show, but what a weird story.
I know.
Something that isn't so great for this show, but very interesting. You know how electric cars don't really make much noise?
Could you say that again? I didn't hear that.
Exactly. Electric noise. You just want to turn this entire show a bit more. Electric cars don't make a lot of noise, which is a problem, actually, for blind people.
And I can see that.
You can see that, of course. Could you shut up with these bad jokes already? It's bad enough I have to deal with them all the time, but on the show? Really? Yes, of course. Well, a company, or Chevy, who are creating the Volt, which is their electric car, have come out with a driver-activated system. It doesn't look like it'll be automatic just yet. It emits a sound that sort of sounds like, excuse me, or, you know, sort of thing, like a noise that's innocuous in that way, as you're approaching someone who can't quite hear. That's what it says here. And it's about, you know, it's basically...
Get out of the way. Right, I'm driving here.
No, so we'll be waiting for Holden to get one that says, get the hell out of the way, basically. Yeah, that should be what it sounds like. If you can take that waveform and translate it into an electronic noise, that's what it would sound like.
Okay.
What have you got?
What have I got? Let's do this one. Buffalo, they're a manufacturer of peripherals for computers, and they have just shipped the first SuperSpeed external hard drive. SuperSpeed is the new USB 3.0 standard. It's the first device of its type available. So we're going to start seeing USB 3.0 devices appearing. They've also shipped a Blu-ray drive.
Okay.
And the transfer rate is up to 625 megabytes a second.
You're never going to really get that. You know that.
Well,
it's a theoretical maximum.
We're apparently, like before the end of the year, we're going to see some USB 3 computers.
Do we need some USB 3 cables? Will we need specialized cables for it?
We can probably, I don't know, but but you can already get some USB 3 cards that'll go into your computer.
Of course, They have different. Yeah. They have slightly different coloured USB ports. They're like blue, I think.
Oh, how pretty. Do they light up?
And speaking of blue, what's your favourite, or sorry, your least favourite thing that you can get when it comes to cameras that we were talking about recently with Pentax?
Oh, the pretty coloured cameras.
Well, it's going to be applied to pretty coloured computers soon. Company Colorware, who have, I think in the past have done coloured versions of Nintendo DS and other devices, are now saying that they will be customising your Apples. In fact, your Apple iMacs, for instance, and I'll
hold this
up.
So you can get a green Apple.
Well, I'm just going to show you the blue Apple, the blue iMac that currently exists,
which is basically
a blue shell. What they do is they take the laptop or the device you want. So you can even get a blue Magic Mouse or a green Magic Mouse or something like that, and they repaint them for you. It costs about $100 extra on top of it.
Or I could get a spray can.
Or you could get a spray can, exactly.
On the subject of Apple, 12 South are a manufacturer of speaker components and so on, and they have released a portable USB-powered subwoofer that turns a MacBook and a MacBook Pro and a MacBook Air into a much better portable sound system. They've got this subwoofer.
It wouldn't be hard, considering the type of audio chips inside those things.
That's right, yeah. But for $80 US, you can get this little device that hangs on the outside, and it works not instead of your internal speakers in the computer, but with them, and gives you an extra dimension of sound. So the press releases.
I'm not sure if you've heard, there's a company called Pixel QI. I think they're doing color flexi screens and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
They're working on, this will be our last story, they're working on a new HDTV with a level of power consumption that's so low it will be able to be run from a solar panel. But what's not just cool about this, it's going to be basically about $100 US, and it'll be capable of HDTV.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's very cool, isn't it?
That's impressive.
It is. Shall we go into a song, sir?
Yes, sir.
That was a very short news section.
It was, but we've got a lot of things to cover today.
Someone didn't do enough editing, I think.
I actually cut it down quite a bit.
What, was it like 4 hours and you cut down to 20 minutes?
That's exactly right. Actually, I cut it down to 15 minutes.
Ooh, 4 hours, 15 minutes. That was a long phone call.
That was.
Okay, well, I'm going to get into some old school Janet Jackson. You might hear some Joni Mitchell in this one. You might want to start that off now because it's got a little bit of talking on the thing there. This is Janet Jackson. We've Got Till It's Gone. You'll hear the Got Till It's Gone because it's Joni Mitchell singing that.
Okay.
Yeah. This is Janet Jackson. It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2 RDJ. Have you been tweeting anything? Your system automatically is set to tweet the music of the show.
That is correct.
And we should quickly say what Twitter is before anyone actually says anything about it. Twitter is basically a way of sending out small status updates. So if you're already a Facebook user, then you can go online and basically just all the status, all the things you're doing right now, not necessarily sitting on the toilet doing a number two, because that's a lot of what a lot of people basically interpreted Twitter in the first place. And
Social media is a way of connecting with other people on the internet. That's what it's all about.
I see it as mass communication. In fact, that's what I use Twitter for the most part.
Yeah, Twitter is mass communication. You send out a message and people who subscribe to your feeds or people who look on the public timeline can see what you're doing. Social media, though, goes a long way beyond Twitter, Facebook and MySpace. As we're about to find out, during the week I managed to speak with John Kimball from Right Now Technologies.
What do they do?
They do some very interesting stuff. They run applications in the cloud that run corporate websites. Mm-hmm. And it's very comprehensive what they do. John is the vice president in charge of social media or something like that. We'll find out in a moment what his actual title is. No, I can't. We'll find out what his title is at the moment. But he certainly has a lot to do with social media. And he informed me, he educated me on a lot of things about social media in the corporate.
You got an education.
Yep. Without any further ado, let's have a listen to what John Kimball has to say. This is actually a quite long interview. We're going to play it in two parts. This is the first part. I've got John from Right Now Technologies with me on the phone. Do you want to just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit of what you do there at Right Now Technologies, please?
Sure. Thank you, Gary, for the conversation today. Yes, my name is John Kimball. I'm the new VP of Social Solutions for Right Now Technologies. So I'm responsible for products and the technologies as well as the best practices and expertise around all things social in Right Now's larger customer experience suite.
Thanks, John. Now, to get down to it, when I first heard about what you were doing, my initial thoughts of social media were in terms of Facebook and MySpace. And I suspect a lot of people may have a similar sort of a feeling on that. And from my point of view, I struggled to understand how there was a connection between Facebook and MySpace and back into the corporate world, apart from the fact that, of course, a lot of people spend a lot of time while they're at work doing Facebook and MySpace, which is not what they're supposed to be doing. Of course, in looking at how you've explained that to me, it's a very, very different sort of a concept altogether. Could you explain that to our listeners, please, John?
Sure. Yeah. And to your point, making sense of social as applied in the business context is really what we work on doing. The great thing about the social technologies is most people are aware of them, at least in the consumer space, and you've referenced two of the most well-known examples, Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, really anything like blogs and wikis and forums and web technologies that allow customers, or rather individuals, to connect with each other, share information with each other, and dialogue online. Those represent the technologies that are underneath the social shift that's going on right now. So we're all connecting with each other in new ways, and that has a phenomenal splash within the technologies and the networks that you've mentioned. But what's exciting is those ways of connecting and ways of interacting are also relevant to businesses, and in two ways. First, people are connecting all over the world, and they're talking not only about the stuff they care about personally, but they're talking about the brands and the products and the companies that they use, the products that they care about, and the experiences they have working with different companies. And that's a conversation that is of great interest to companies. Also, companies are figuring out how to extend their website to be more than just a set of brochures online that people look at, to be more engaging, to involve customers in their business processes, like helping customers help themselves, peer-to-peer support, involving customers in the design of their own products, so crowdsourcing new product concepts and driving product design, but using the imagination and the passion of your customers to do so, as well as driving new models of customer loyalty and even commerce through ratings and reviews. So by engaging out in the social web and by using social technologies to drive your business, these ways of connecting are as applicable to business as they are on the networks that you talk about.
In a practical sense, how does this work? How does it manifest itself out there for a corporation? How might somebody implement something like this, John?
Yeah, that really gets to the next question we hear from companies all the time. First is, okay, I'm starting to make sense of how social might apply to my business. Where do I get started? And we normally advise kind of a simple two-step methodology, in large part because there's so many different social technologies that you can choose from and so many different social networks that you could get involved with. Figuring out where to start is very important. So first, and I alluded to just before, recognizing that individuals and your customers are talking with each other about you out on the social sites like YouTube and like Twitter, figuring out how to listen to those conversations that occur out there and preparing yourself to respond to them is step one. So a listening and response posture with respect to the social web. And for example, there are people out on Twitter who are saying, hey, my experience using this airline was less than phenomenal, or I'm having trouble with my telephone. Companies can respond just like they might through a normal other support channel like chat or phone calls. They can respond out on Twitter just as well. So that's step number one. Step number two is to extend your website to engage your customers socially, and that's using things like online forums or online blogs or online idea storming technologies to be able to engage your customers and allow them to collaborate with you. And those are communities that you own, that you sponsor, and that you control rather than those networks that you don't. And so that's kind of step two in terms of applying social technology to your businesses as well.
So what you're saying is that, okay, people are going to talk about a corporation if they get good or bad service somewhere on the internet. They might tweet that I had a really bad experience with XYZ. We got the example earlier this year of the guy, the country singer, where United destroyed his guitar, and that was one where there was, you know, sort of the viral YouTube video. And what you're saying is that from in that particular case, from United's point of view, it would have been really good for them in terms of a management of the incident to be able to pull that in via their own social media, if they had one, via their own social media facilities, so that they could better manage the customer experience from there. The guy had some pretty poor customer experiences, as I recall, in that particular episode, John.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and that's one of the there are many examples of things like that, and that's almost a poster child for the impact of the new empowered customer, right? So these individuals, and we're all talking with each other globally around the world, and we all can be heard because these social sites give everybody a voice. And so it allows us as consumers to do what we do naturally, which is talk about our experiences and trust each other's opinions rather than the message that's coming from the company through, you know, ads or commercials or brochures. We'd rather listen to each other than to the company, because that's where our new center of trust is. And because we can hear each other, it's a natural tendency. And that is exactly one specific example of that. He had trouble with his guitar being broken on a flight, and worked with United for, goodness, 9 months to try to get it resolved, to ask them to just pay for it, and was unable to do so. And he's not a lawyer, so he didn't sue them. He's a musician, so instead he wrote a song and put it up on YouTube. 6 million people saw it. It cost him $150 to make. United lost about $186 million in market cap, not directly responsible for that, but obviously driven by that. So clearly interacting, the activity out on the social web can impact the support functions and the communication functions of companies, and companies need to be prepared to be proactive in their response to those. The social, in addition to the negative side, also can drive the positive side. You can engage the passion and the energy of your customers to drive product design, as well as build customer loyalty. And we've been working with global companies doing just those things as well. In addition to providing support, we've been working with one company specifically who's been crowdsourcing their product roadmap for 3 years now, taking ideas from their customers and developing them with their customers. And so the company's building exactly what the customers want. So that's more of an example of an offensive strategy rather than a defensive strategy, but both are relevant.
Indeed, there's a lot of relevance there. We're going to have more of what John Kemble has to say in just a few moments. Right now, we mentioned during that brief chat Dave Carroll, United breaking his guitar when they were transporting him around America. Let's have a listen to that song now. This is Dave Carroll, United Breaks Guitars.
I flew United Airlines on my way to Nebraska. The plane departed Halifax, connecting in Chicago's O'Hare.
It's party time, and we want to see your photos. 2RDJ and our good friends from HP have a brand new HP PhotoSmart Premium all-in-one printer valued at $299 for one lucky listener, just for sharing with us your happy party photos. Just email your photos to us at 2RDJcompetition@gmail.com, making sure that you include your contact details, and you will be in the running to win this fabulous printer. Photos should be of yourself, your family, your friends, or your workmates, and they should show you having a good time. The photo that we think shows the best party, that we think is the happiest snap, gets the printer in time for the upcoming holiday season. It's that simple. Again, email your photo to 2RDJcompetition@gmail.com and be in it to win it. HP are proud sponsors of 2RDJ-FM.
88.1 Radio 2RDJ. This is the Gadget Crew of Lee Stark and Gary Stark over there in his nice orange shirt today. And we're going to get back into this feature where we're talking to some guy who knows about social media.
John Kemble from Right Now Technologies.
Yeah, that guy.
Let's listen to what he continues to say about social media and how it affects us all, and especially how it can be useful in the corporate environment.
From the company's point of view, from the corporation's point of view, they can clearly get a much better point of view of what their customers are feeling, and they can react in a much more proactive and hopefully positive manner. And from the customer's point of view, they get a better voice with the corporation. They can, you know, sort of contribute to the products. They can, if they've got an issue, they can hopefully get that issue addressed in a much more proactive way. Would they be some of the major benefits that you're seeing from both aspects there, John?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Most people tend to look at social as a new set of technologies or a new set of networks, and while that's true, and while the technologies are new, the business fundamentals, they're not. So those come down to, as you mentioned, customer care, customer support, insights and innovation, customer loyalty, as well as commerce. And all organizations care about those four things. And the secret of social is that you can do each of those things in customer-powered ways. So as I mentioned before, peer-to-peer support, and you get value by being proactive, by deflection, by responsiveness and reuse of knowledge. On the insights and innovation benefit area, that's more of a market research or a product design or product management benefit, but you can use ideas applications and concept testing there, engaging your customers, where you can drive, as I mentioned before, your product roadmap and really reduce the cost per interview or cost per insight. And then customer loyalty, there are new ways that you can increase brand affinity, enabling customers to recommend your product to each other, and drive cross-sell and upsell, because they will trust each other, again, as I mentioned before, more than they'll trust yourself. We are working with Adobe globally to do just that. They're building an international user groups community, connecting designers all around the world. And the designers, by geography and by product, are showing each other all the cool things that they build with Adobe products, and as a result are driving the adoption of new technologies within the base of their most loyal customers.
I'm a corporation. I want to bring some social media into my organization. What are the different models? What are the different modes? How can I do this? What sort of different aspects could I possibly invoke?
Yeah, we've talked about almost the full spectrum of customer engagement across, you know, really a lot of the fundamental the business dimensions. Really, it kind of depends on your business and budget and who's really passionate about community to figure out the best way to start. Whether a great place to start is in customer support, because the use case and the ROI benefit's pretty solid and well known and established even in the new world of social. And so starting with customer support is really makes a lot of sense for most people. Also, starting with the insights and innovation area is a great place to get started too, because while it's a different buyer, different part of your organization, there are easy ways to start sowing the seeds of social and seeing benefits immediately. The promise is that you really have extended as a company your team without hiring new people, because you're starting to collaborate with your customers. So it's really an untapped resource and an untapped pool of expertise that companies are figuring out how to take advantage of.
Well, let's talk about that untapped resource for a moment, because you do have if it's a good brand, you'll find there's a lot of customer loyalty there. In America, of course, you've got the people who want to buy a Chevrolet or a Ford, and they're very much in, or GM or Ford, and they're very much in two different camps. We have exactly the same here. In the photography field, you'll either be a Canon or a Nikon user. And these people can be very, very strong advocates for the corporation if they're mustered in the right way. But what about if somebody within the social media, within the social environment that the corporation has set up, what if somebody says something negative? Let's talk about best practice now. And I've had a bad experience with corporation XYZ, and I want to bring it to somebody's attention. So I'm going to tweet about it, and I'm going to say something on their forum in the hope that perhaps somebody within the corporation might take the reins and run with it and try and address it. But with that sort of a negative comment, how should the corporation best handle it? What's your opinion on that, please, John?
That's a great question, because now that the end consumers are very empowered to speak globally and everybody can hear them, that really is one of the first concerns out of the gate, is what about the negative comments? What about criticism? How do we deal with it? It's not a venue we entirely control. So this shifts from a mentality of control and message control to a mentality of participation and responsiveness, taking criticism, taking critique, and responding with solutions, being responsive, listening to those solutions and acting accordingly. And not only does the company need to prepare to do that, but also facilitate their most passionate advocates to come in and provide solutions and be defensive as well. So some folks, the concern about the negative voice is almost, you know, causes paralysis to get started. But I think with the recognition that the social shift is so substantial that customers are talking about you positively and negatively regardless out there, regardless of whether you're listening or participating, normally that realization gets folks on the, okay, now we have to engage and participate.
That's pretty much in agreement with my thoughts. I've seen some corporations that will take the criticism. They might have their own forum. Somebody's criticizing them, and they'll just shut down that particular discussion in the forum, maybe delete the thread so that nobody sees any criticism of them. And I think that, you know, that's a very, very negative approach to take, whereas sometimes you'll see somebody, there is some criticism there, they will listen to the criticism. They'll say, well, you got a good point, you know, sort of, we're very sorry for that. Let's have a look at how we can improve this particular experience that you've had, and let's see if we can turn that into a positive experience for you in some way.
That's exactly right. I think fundamentally, as humans, we're looking for authentic interactions with other humans that we can trust. And if you look at the richness of all of our personal lives, it includes positive and negative, and it includes honesty and includes, you know, real voice. And I think that's simply what we all expect of each other, and more we're expecting that of the companies that we're interacting with.
Okay, John, thank you very much for taking some time out of your day to spend with us here on the Gadget Grill. We all do appreciate your words, and they've been very valuable to us, John.
Jerry, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Yes.
I can't believe you said, yeah, you're going to watch my finger.
Yes. thank you very much, John. That was very, very interesting information, and I think that what he's saying is a portent for the future for corporations. You know, engage in the social media and do it in a positive manner.
Interestingly, I just came across a story that basically said, much like the United Breaks Guitar thing, and this is just an example of how companies really do need to be aware of this. A lady trying to get her Volvo fixed just created a song in Swedish to try and get Volvo to replace her faulty transmission. This is not going away, this sort of media, and it makes sense because I don't know when I'm getting annoyed. And I can't get through phones on people, I tweet the companies to see if that gets their attention. Sometimes it works.
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
This is Lazy Afternoon from Joe Henderson.
Mm-hmm. Radio 2 RDJ, the final moments of the Gadget Grill, where we go to the freezer and pull out some cheesecake.
That's coming up shortly.
Yes, we do. And we're going to pull out the freezer and we're going to play some Dexter Gordon cheesecake, some final jazz, because we almost always end with jazz. You know, I was planning on not ending with jazz today, but I figured we should end with jazz because...
Because we end with jazz, yeah. And we can talk over the top.
We can. We would like to share with you some useless gadgetiness, and I'm going to pull out a toy right now. Dad, you see the toy I'm pulling out?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
What is that?
That's my penis. But right now I'm going to pull out another toy, and this toy is a remote control car with a metal detector built into it.
Okay.
And this metal detector can pick up iron-based metals down to 4 inches... and it will flash a red LED to basically, so you know, to tell you there. So you can drive it over a beach or your neighbor's backyard, and it will potentially find the cross that they threw away because they couldn't bear to hold it anymore, or something like that.
So this is basically a follow-on from my metal detector thongs last week.
Look, I think this is a little more usable, especially if you're lazy. Imagine sitting there on your front balcony or sitting there on the beach and just driving this thing over everything, hoping to pick up
something. And hopefully
over
some of the people.
It's about $50, but what actually
That's
strikes
cheap.
Yeah, it is. What strikes me as being possibly the weirdest thing ever is the digital GT Pitbox track set. You can tell I'm in my toy sort of mood today. This thing is a 132 scale slot car raceway that includes a whole bunch of digital technology to monitor fuel consumption, brake responsiveness. Hold on, it's an electric slot car thing. And it has things like, so it's got 3 cars. If you're racing against 3 people and you go through the pit road too fast, you'll be penalized a lap. It shows you how much fuel you have because it's not really fuel. It's like, it's the most realistic slot car for people who probably should be driving real cars.
Oh, interesting, interesting. And on the subject of cars.
What's on the subject? Oh, by the way, it's available from our favorite company.
Oh,
Hammock, whatever they are.
Whatever
called.
They are, yes.
Yeah.
The purveyor of useless gadgets. Yes. But on the subject of cars, happy birthday, Janet.
Yes, she's a car. Wow, yes. That was a really good segue. Janet Carr, the producer of Good Game, turns something today.
Yes, she's 21.
Is she?
Again, yes.
Again?
Yes.
She's never going to go from there, is she?
No, she's not. She's okay. A lovely lady. Lovely lady.
Okay, Dad.
Happy birthday, Janet.
You can end the show now.
Okay, well, you have been listening to, or maybe you just missed, The Gadget Grill, exclusively on Radio 2 RDJ 88.1 FM on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com. I hope that tonight you learned something about social media and how it may affect you, and
how it may help you avoid all of those little things on the beach as you take your metal detecting slot car down onto the beach. But whatever you do, don't take your Kodak camera with a beach mode down there.
And that makes sense. You know, if you take your Kodak camera with a beach mode down to the beach, Kodak will tell you to get bent when it stops working. Apparently it's because sand got in the elements.
Yes. As I was saying, you have been listening to The Gadget Grill and to RDJ FM 88.1. Yes. We'll be back.
Can
next.
I interrupt you?
You just did.
Can I interrupt you again?
You just did.
Can I interrupt you before you say anything?
No.
Oh. Can I interrupt you anyway?
Well, you can. But you can't interrupt me before I say anything because I've already said something.
But can I interrupt you and can you still try and speak over the top of me?
Well, yes, I can because I just kill your microphone.
That's cheating!
Or I could actually pull the level down.
Oh, okay. Oh, I just have to get closer. Okay. Yeah.
You've been listening to 2RDJ FM 88.1, The Gadget Grill with Lee Stark. That was him, Gary Stark. That is... or was me.
Or if you listened to the beginning of the show and you thought I was Malcolm Turnbull, you've been listening to The Gadget Grill of Gary Stark and Malcolm Turnbull, or fake Malcolm Turnbull, even though it's actually Lee Stark.
Right. And we'll be back on 2RDJ FM 88.1 next Sunday night from 9 o'clock
really
with
Lee
more
Stark.
Gadgetry for you.
My name's Lee Stark.
I'm Gary Stark.
Have a good week, Australia.
We'll see you next week.